You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
Good morning. Welcome to Medicine on Call. Today I have a special guest with me, Dr. Marie Jin. She's a board-certified dermatologist who practices in California. And today I wanted to have a conversation about the internet. And there's a lot of, I think things have changed in terms of advertising, in terms of doctors reaching out to patients. And internet presence and social media has become very powerful. And online reviews are one of the things that when patients come to see me that they talk about, and they it leads them to my practice. But what about the other side of it? What happens when there are false reviews that are put on the internet about doctors? What power do doctors have? What power do patients have? And I wanted to speak with someone who's actually on the front line about this. And I want to thank you, Dr. Jin, for coming on the show to speak with us today. And if you'd be so kind, tell us a little bit about yourself. How did you pick dermatology? How did you start your practice?
Yeah, hi. I am a dermatologist in California, and I actually did two residencies. I did internal medicine first, and then did a dermatology residency. And I chose dermatology because it I went into medicine to save lives, and I found that when I was doing internal medicine that it wasn't more about saving lives but doing a lot of paperwork. And when I did a rotation in dermatology, I just found that I could really see results. Patients were happy. It just was a little bit more satisfying to my personality. Mm-hmm. So that's why I chose dermatology.
Well, being out in California, I would think, well, it's a huge market for one thing. And being able to, you know, carve out your niche and make your practice separate from other folks, social media and internet presence, it must be huge for your practice as well, I would assume.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Especially since I live in the Silicon Valley, where the whole internet started. Social media presence is important.
Well, is there any story that you'd like to share with us about your experience with patient reviews, specifically the negative reviews? Because that, to me, it can be something that patients use as a hammer against you if they're unhappy about one thing, a billing, anything, you name it.
Yeah, I think the online reviews have become a sticky point for a lot of physicians because of the fact that people can write anything about the physician, whether it's true or not. A lot of times, medicine and how we practice medicine is very complex. People who come to see the physician don't understand the complexities of diagnosing, of treating a patient. And a lot of the reviews, unfortunately, we are treated more like a restaurant or other types of services that are much more customer-based versus clinical-based. So a lot of the reviews on social media tend to be patients tend to express dissatisfaction with customer service, mm-hmm, rather than with the clinical performance. So studies have found that about 84% of complaints on Yelp, for example, cited non-clinical service issues as a main source of dissatisfaction. So these complaints could include chronic billing problems or poor follow-up communication or excessive wait time.
It's almost like a wild, wild west, and it's very uneven. People can write things about the physician, but the physician actually can't write things back, right? Is there like a patient privacy thing? It's not an equal playing field, is it?
Oh, definitely. I think this is where the real problem lies, is that unlike other people who are reviewed, you know, whether it's the dry cleaners or your restaurant or the hairdresser, they can really defend themselves. Unfortunately, physicians have a problem. The problem is that because of patient privacy laws, also known as the Health Insurance Portability and Accountability Act, or HIPAA, and as well as a threat of lawsuits, physicians are unable to comment on those negative reviews. So what that means is when somebody complains about a bad service at a restaurant, the restaurant owner can explain the issue, what happened. They can apologize specifically to that review. But if a patient complains about the physician, because of HIPAA, cannot explain why he chose that treatment or why he did the things he did or why there was a wait time because of the violating patient privacy. So you can't, as a physician, apologize for any bad outcome without exposing yourself as a legal risk. And this is just even stating that you know this patient was your patient.
Mm-hmm. That's putting yourself in a box, essentially.
Yeah.
And now you have the hospitals where the patients they give patients questionnaires about doctors, and you feel like you're walking a tightrope because you have to be everything to everybody, and it's not realistic, is it? I mean, you're spending, some doctors, 7 minutes a visit for their patient. If you work for a big group or a hospital, you're under duress to get the patient in, get them out. Very little niceties, I think, go on in that kind of environment. Those doctors must be completely open to these types of reviews and patient questionnaires where it could be misunderstandings and you can't explain yourself. I mean, it's hard to get up and go to work and think about with having that behind your back, you know, where it's over your shoulder. This, if I don't say it the right way, if I don't look a certain way, they're coming after me.
Yes. I think the chronic issue, to be honest, is that when it comes to the dissatisfaction that a lot of patients may have with their health care, with their provider, is very, I think, directed at the wrong source. Mm-hmm. I think that physicians are the one in the front line seeing the patients, and like you said, they don't understand why we have to see patients every 5 minutes. you know, everything, or why they have to pay a copay every time they come to see you, or why did they have to pay out of their deductible a certain amount, or get charged a certain amount, and this is where I think patients are not understanding the system, that mm-hmm. it is the system, not the provider, the physician, that there's a reason behind all of this. It's the failure of our healthcare system and making, you know, physicians be rushed to do a lot of things because they're not getting paid, or they have a lot of stuff they need to do behind the scenes that no one sees.
Oh, I agree. I mean, the middleman has become extremely powerful. You're describing the insurance company insertion into the doctor-patient visit. We get this all the time. You know, people coming up for follow-up, they flabbergasted, they have to pay a copay. But I don't think patients read their own medical insurance contracts, and they should do that. we look at the card. It says just because you have the card doesn't mean you have you're not going to get benefits. They don't even read that small print. But I think,
exactly.
But people need to take responsibility. It's your contract. And honestly, doctors have been really nice about this. If you really think about it, we could be in a position of you pay us and then you go back and get it from your insurance and you work with them. We could do that, and it is done in other countries, and I think it's a lot smoother because it makes the patient totally aware and not sit back and see what happens kind of mentality. And I think there's a lot less drama, really, that goes on when the patient has to deal with the insurance company. They're a lot nicer to the patient than they are to us.
Definitely. I think that the reason why, and, you know, patients are very frustrated, and so what ends up happening is that the frustration gets put on these online reviews. So we kind of get the brunt of the anger and the frustration.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, for example, like we talked about, that a patient had to pay a copay. So not understanding their insurance, not understanding that those are the rules that we have to abide by, but we are the ones that get blamed for that. Or, you know, or the fact that it doesn't, what's so sad is that there are so many amazing physicians that are, you know, according to other physicians, are considered the best doctors out there.
Mm-hmm.
And yet you read their reviews and you realize, wow, this is terrible, because they're not being judged on who they are clinically, but rather how much copay or how long they were seen or how rushed they were. So unfortunately for patients who look at these reviews, they may not be getting the right perspective. And if they do pick a physician based on online reviews, then that's very sad for them, because they may not be getting the full picture of the physician that they want to see.
Oh, I agree. And that's, you really have to be an informed consumer of these reviews. And it's human. Anybody gets on the review, I think it goes both ways, right? Either the person is ecstatic and they love the doctor and they are motivated to do that. But that's not necessarily the norm. I think people are more motivated by nasty things more than positive things, because they can vent and because it's anonymous and because there's no blowback from it. So it feeds the worst part of our nature, I think, to get revenge on people. But
yeah,
part of it is communication. And let's take a break. Come back, and I want to pick that up, because I think communication is key, and I think a lot of these reviews wouldn't happen if everybody would talk with each other. And I mean, I think the internet and the electronic medical record system has made it worse. On that note, let's take a break. You're listening to Medicine on Call.
This is Dr. George from Medicine on Call. Healthcare reform is confusing, but one thing has become obvious. Whether it's finding an affordable insurance plan, keeping your doctor, or being able to afford needed prescriptions, navigating the healthcare system has become a challenge. With the loss of the Obamacare mandate, those needing help can now choose an affordable alternative. By joining Liberty HealthShare, you'll become part of a community of health-conscious Americans all over the country who want to control their own healthcare costs and choices. Liberty HealthShare is not insurance. It's an association of self-pay patients who unite with like-minded people to share their medical needs. Neighbor helping neighbor. Medical, surgical, and some alternative holistic treatments are covered without restrictive doctor and hospital panels. Plans start as low as $107 a month for an individual and $345 a month for a family. Healthcare without the hassle. What a simple concept. Learn more now by going to libertyoncall.org or call 1-800-714-6993.
Hello, I'm Dr. Mike Karuchak. Have you ever wondered what doctors talk about amongst themselves? If you do, join us on the Doctor's Lounge and hear the doctors' conversations amongst themselves. Join me and my co-host, Dr. Hal Schertz, every Thursday morning, 8 to 9 a.m.
This is Dr. Elena George from Medicine on Call. When I wrote my book, Big Medicine, I wanted readers to learn both how the healthcare system works and how to navigate the system to make it work for them. A supplemental policy from Aflac is a little known but effective strategy to help cover costs of routine medical and dental care and catastrophic care such as cancer, kidney disease, heart attacks, and stroke. Imagine buying a policy that will pay you if you are diagnosed with a catastrophic medical condition or you need emergency care, no questions asked. Whether you're a small business owner who wants to cover your employees or you have a high deductible plan, buying supplemental policy provides coverage you can actually count on to be there when you need it. It also covers preventative care such as mammograms. Imagine being paid to stay healthy. It's a no-brainer. Learn more by texting paid to be healthy to 36260 or go to www.aflac.com/Stephen_money.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back to Medicine on Call. Today we're speaking with Dr. Marie Jin. She's a board-certified dermatologist and the director of Premier Dermatology in California and Silicon Valley. And before the break, we were talking about communication. And, you know, when I opened my practice, I started off with an electronic medical record system, but it was a personal choice because I wanted to stay lean and mean and I wanted not to have, you know, dictating services, et cetera. Now with the Affordable Care Act and the advance of these electronic medical systems, I don't think doctors really do have the same hands-on with patients. You have medical assistants that come in. You have all these layers before the doctor gets there. And that's where the seven-minute visit usually comes in. I've heard of patients tell me the doctor never examined me, never laid hands on me, never looked at me, just walked in, wrote a prescription, and walked out the door. So in the advance, you know, the need to advance our healthcare system with the electronic medical records, do you think that that's made or inserted another insertion between the doctor and patient, another layer that's led to this depersonalization and then the feeling the patient feels just uncared for and therefore they want to lash out?
Oh, yeah, definitely. It's another, like you said, it's another layer that stands between the physician caring for the patient. You know, it used to be just a face-to-face visit, that was it. And now we have these layers of things that go in between the time we could be spending with our patient. Definitely.
And have you had any colleagues that you're aware of who've gotten these, you know, erroneous negative reviews? And have they had to leave practice? Has it caused them, you know, what's the worst case scenario that you've ever seen with someone getting one of these negative reviews from a physician standpoint?
So we have a petition out there on change.org to remove these online reviews of physicians. And in the process, because of the petition, I've had a lot of physicians contact me about their experience because of these online reviews. And some of them, some of the stories are very sad. I had a physician tell me that they were bullied from these online reviewers, and the physician knew exactly who it was. And this person continued to bully them even when they this physician relocated from California to New York. And he tried to, you know, contact, do things legally, trying to get this person off their back, but they were relentless and leaving super negative reviews and followed them to New York and continue to write negative reviews at his new practice.
Wow.
So it is a very emotionally traumatizing experience for a lot of physicians.
The thing that I've experienced and found is that you can't contact the companies who you know who house these reviews. They won't remove them, right? So you can't. It has to be the person who wrote it that retracts it. That's even more power. You can't even hold them liable for it.
That's right.
We need some legislation, actually, probably, to correct this because it's defamation. It's messing with someone's. It's restriction of trade. It's, well, as you said, bullying. So, I mean, there's all sorts of things psychologically, economically, that goes on with no proof. I mean, this is not something that you can actually prove. It's just someone making a statement.
Yeah, so it's a huge problem. Unfortunately, the thing is that a lot of these online reviews cannot be held liable. They're immune under the Communications Decency Act, Section 230. And what this Section 230 of the Act has been interpreted to say is that the operators of these internet services, they are not construed as publishers, so thereby they are not legally liable for the words of the third parties who use their services. So they cannot be sued. This is the problem, is that these online reviews are immune. Mm-hmm. So you cannot take legal action against these online reviews who a lot of times filter reviews and have no recourse if you are being reviewed negatively, mm-hmm. by someone who can have an emotional problem or is a bully or is a fake person. They have no liability.
What if it, have you ever had an instance of a doctor telling you that it's just so personal and it's, you know, expletive driven? I mean, it's just completely over the borderline. It's not just a review anymore. It's just a character assassination. Can you get that removed if it's got, you know, things that are, I guess I wouldn't, expletive driven and et cetera? Is that something that can be removed?
Yeah, so definitely I think that you have to look at the online review company's policy.
Okay.
So if you look, for example, if you look at Yelp and go to their content guidelines, if the review violates any of the Yelp's content guidelines, mm-hmm. then you can contact them and say that it violates their content guidelines and see if the company can remove it.
Okay.
So definitely, you know, if the review you feel like violates the content guidelines of the online review company, then definitely contact them and it can be removed.
What about the flip side? It doesn't, but have you had doctors who've gotten lawyers to write a cease and desist letter on the patient? I mean, has legal remedies that the doctors use personally been effective?
So, yes, there have been several lawsuits that physicians have, like I said, tried to go after the online company, mm-hmm. which a lot of times is not successful. But then they have actually taken action against the perpetrator, the reviewer themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, there have been some successful outcomes, especially if it's affecting their livelihood or their reputation. But it's very costly, so not many people are able to do that.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. The flip side, the other question I have is the companies that have been springing up to help you clean your reputation online. It sounds like they may be run by the same hosting sites in order to make an extra buck on people who are trying to fix the problem.
Yeah, you hear about these online reputation review sites. Clean up, I don't even know what they're called, but mm-hmm. But again, that's expensive and for the reviews, so it would have to be it ends up being super costly, so the physician is at the burden of going through the cost of taking these actions.
Well, I see a solution perhaps, and that may be the doctors having a policy or something in place in the office that the patients can actually email, call, have someone who's dedicated to patient dissatisfaction. So you kind of nip it at the bud. I think it's part of it, it's just complete rage, I'm sure, and entitlement. But the other part is not being heard. And maybe that would be a way to actually prevent this spewing online, that you can kind of fix the problem. And a lot of doctors, I think, don't know when a patient is having a bad experience in their office. And it could be the front staff, you know, the front desk person, the person who answers the phone having a bad day, and it all blows back on the physician.
Yeah, there definitely, I think that is a really, really good point, is that, you know, instead of having someone post an angry, negative review, like you said, it's about understanding the person's frustrations. So, mm-hmm. for example, one thing that we do in my office is that we ask the patients, especially new patients, people who don't know you, to ask them if they were happy with the visit. Mm-hmm. So right away, they can express their frustration to you directly versus going to an online review. So a patient survey or a follow-up email or a review that you could do in your office. And that way, they can express it and write it, whether it's negative or positive, and then you can deal with it. And that way you can know who the person is, and you can know that it's actually a patient that was at your office. It's not a fake review. Other creative ways that other physicians have been trying to challenge these bad reviews, there's a plastic surgeon out in California who actually made a contest to get the worst reviews out there. So by making people write the worst reviews on his online reviews, it actually makes it almost like a joke that these online reviews even matter.
That's a novel way of doing it. I kind of like that. On that note, let's take a break. You're listening to Medicine on Call.
This is Dr. George from Medicine on Call. Healthcare reform is confusing, but one thing has become obvious. Whether it's finding an affordable insurance plan, keeping your doctor, or being able to afford needed prescriptions, navigating the healthcare system has become a challenge. With the loss of the Obamacare mandate, those needing help can now choose an affordable alternative. By joining Liberty HealthShare, you'll become part of a community of health-conscious Americans all over the country who want to control their own healthcare costs and choices. Liberty HealthShare is not insurance. It's an association of self-pay patients who unite with like-minded people to share their medical needs, neighbor helping neighbor. Medical, surgical, and some alternative holistic treatments are covered without restrictive doctor and hospital panels. Plans start as low as $107 a month for an individual and $345 a month for a family. Healthcare without the hassle. What a simple concept. Learn more now by going to libertyoncall.org or call 1-800-714-6993.
With all the back and forth in today's politics, it seems as though the Constitution gets lost in the mix. If you want to brush up on your Constitution, then join Michael Conley every Wednesday from 4 to 5 p.m. for the show Our Constitution on AmericasWebRadio.com.
Do you have a problem with the feeling of something stuck in your throat, throat tightness, bad breath, a chronic cough, or frequent throat clearing? Maybe you have acid reflux, which is a common problem. Or maybe you have persistent ear pain, ear clogging, or ringing in the ears, but have been told you don't have ear infections. Perhaps it's because you grind your teeth at night. Sometimes the symptoms don't seem to be connected to an underlying problem. Sometimes the answer to a nagging symptom that doesn't go away or respond to treatments can be found by having your doctor give you the time to explain exactly what's going on in order to discover the root of the problem. This is Dr. George from Medicine on Call. I believe in taking the time to perform a thorough examination, discuss the findings, and answer your questions, because I believe that our patients are empowered when they're given all the treatment options. It's simple. When you understand the problem, you get to decide which treatment option works best for you. It's all about the power of choice, because Peace Street ENT Center is where patient care counts. For more information or to make an appointment, go to www.PeachtreeEntCenter.com. That's PeachtreeEntCenter.com. PeachtreeEntCenter.com.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back to Medicine on Call. Today we're speaking with Dr. Marie Jin, a board-certified dermatologist and the director of Premier Dermatology, and someone who's on the front line of being an advocate for doctors as well as patients. You know, before the break, we were talking about office-based solutions that doctors can put in place. What about also, in our practice, we tell the patient, if we're going to do a procedure, exactly what it's going to cost up front, and give them the option of saying yes or no, you know, not just doing it and then saying, oh, by the way, you're stuck with a bill. And the second thing we've started now is doing an advanced benefit notice. So we have the patient sign basically a contract that says, this is why I want to do the procedure, this is the cost of it. If your insurance company doesn't pay, you have to. Are those things that you think would help decrease this nebulous gray area? Because money is a main problem, I think, that, like we said, drives a lot of these reviews.
Oh, definitely. I think that those are excellent things that you're doing. The more upfront you can be with the patient and explain things and the cost, then definitely they, you know, there's an understanding right off the bat. So I think that those are all excellent ideas.
And when you talk to other physicians, you know, how, well, you know, you're on the front line, you're very aware, but are doctors actually aware that patients go on and write things about them online? Or are we really just kind of on the forefront?
I think that it's interesting. I think people go one of two ways. I think there are physicians, for a long time for myself, it's very hurtful seeing a negative review about yourself when I know for myself, you know, I try my best.
Mm-hmm.
So for a while, I used to just not want to read any reviews. So I think there's the one camp where physicians don't even say, you know, want to look at it or read it. That's kind of the opinion, you know, if I don't read it, it's not there. And then there's the other camp, which I have become in the second camp now, is to read the reviews and be proactive about it, whether that means having a script, some type of response, generic response, obviously, because we can't acknowledge that there are patients that you could post, or do something proactive like we just talked about. You know, whether it's doing a survey in your office or being upfront about the cost. So, you know, these negative, these online reviews are not going to go away anytime soon. So, I think being more proactive is a lot healthier, better way to practice.
Well, I'm really interested in the response. When you say that, obviously you can't put personal information, but what kind of tone, what is the thing that you recommend doctors do in terms of crafting that generic response? What needs to be in it?
I think it has to be a general statement about your practices in your office and how you know, want the patients to be heard, and that if there are any complaints, that you're willing to fix it, and that if it can be fixed, that, you know, you would work together to try and solve the problem.
That makes sense.
So a very proactive type of response. That's very generic.
Mm-hmm.
So no one feels like their privacy is being exposed.
And it, I assume not defensive, but encouraging communication.
Yeah, I think the first thing that a lot of people suggest is to go directly, first first, like we talked about, look at the content guidelines. Maybe that could be a way that the review can be removed. But secondly, then write a private note to the person, or even call them if you know who they are, and try and talk to them about their experience. And then finally, if none of that works to get the review removed, then write a generic response that's public.
Okay. I mean, I've seen from using a legal remedy, like writing a cease and desist letter directly to the patient, it's expensive, but it's not as expensive as litigation, I don't think. But that's also another tool in a kit, depending on how the patient, you know, who the patient is, what their personality is, et cetera. But that's something else I think that doctors probably may need to know about, because it's a one-off, and it usually is pretty effective, especially if you put kind of the "I'm not taking this" line, and you're going to have a repercussion. Because I think people don't believe you know who they are, so they write all sorts of crazy stuff, and they have the power of, they think, of anonymity. And that's one of the bad things about the whole internet, quite frankly. The people who go on to write, the professional complainers and people who are sometimes paid in some instances to write things that are negative. It's actually a while. I like to go back to the old school of medical care, where it's just you and your patient, and you have the time and you have the ability to craft a relationship. I don't think this goes on when doctors actually have a relationship with their patients and you actually sit and get to know them, good and bad. I mean, we're human. Nothing's going to have a 100% positive outcome anywhere. I mean, to promise that is not real either, is it?
Yeah, I totally agree. I think that that would be awesome if we could go back to the way it was. So if there's any way where it's just the patient-physician interaction, I think these reviews, online reviews, wouldn't even be around.
Mm-hmm.
So I totally agree. There is a movie coming out called The Billion Dollar Bully. So keep an eye out for that. But I think that, again, like the movie suggests, these online reviews can be a form of bullying.
Mm-hmm. Well, without consequence, too. But yeah. They're just as devastating. I wonder if there's any data on doctors who, you know the suicide rate amongst physicians is quite high. It's like 400 a year, I believe, at this point. I wonder how many of those, of that percentage, have experienced bad online reviews and felt that, you know, they were just attacked unfairly. I mean, that's the first review you ever read that's bad about yourself, like you described. It's devastating. I know nobody walks into that office trying not to do the best for their patient. Nobody. I don't think there's anybody, any physician, any healthcare professional that feels that way. So for someone to take it there, it's a personal attack, and people take that very seriously. But they can't speak about it, so you end up, I would think, internalizing it. It must be me. I'm a bad physician, you know. And if it's your whole purpose of what defines you, that could really just devastate you emotionally, I would think.
Oh, yeah. I think that no one talks about that side. I think that's an excellent, excellent point. I don't know whether these can lead to physician suicide. But like you said, it has an emotional impact. That I think that the reviewers have no idea, you know,
mm-hmm.
That it really, a lot of the physicians I talk to, they take some of these reviews to heart, and it's a very distressing thing to read something and you, you know, are in shock that it's out there in the public,
yeah.
And that you cannot defend yourself. It's a very difficult position to be in, where you cannot defend yourself.
It is. I would. It and to have it be such a personal thing about your willingness or ability to do your job, which is to care for somebody. It's not like making, you know, clothing or making a meal for somebody. This is somebody's life that you have in your hands a lot of times. As a dermatologist, I'm sure you give diagnoses that are not pleasant, cancer, etc. I mean, these are things that affect people's life going forward. And for someone to think that you take it lightly, or you don't care, or you're all about the money, or you're incompetent, I mean, all these things that speak to you as a, well, superimpose themselves on you as an individual and as a professional. And not, this is the only profession, I think, I can't name another one, where you can come, they can come after you and you can't defend yourself. Everybody else seems to be able to, but we're handcuffed.
Yeah, definitely. And I think what's frustrating, I think, for a lot of people is that we have the medical board. If they're definitely, I mean, there are definitely, mm-hmm. you know, bad lemons out there. If there is a physician who is doing something that is grossly negligent, we have the legal system and the medical board that have oversight.
Mm-hmm.
So this is why I think these online reviews can be so nebulous, because if it truly was something that was, you know, negligent or liable, then I don't think it would be on an online review. That should be presented to the medical board, or to, you know, it would be a lawsuit. So that's why these online reviews, people should take it with a grain of salt.
That's an excellent point. You're absolutely right on that. That'd be a malpractice suit. That would be a whole different level that never ends up online, really. It goes straight. So this is people getting their feelings hurt, or feeling as if they're, and again, I think it comes down to communication, feeling not listened to, or they take out the frustration on the about the insurance company on the doctor. And I'm not sure you've ever experienced this, but the insurance companies literally pit us against the patient. Our patients have been told in some instances, oh, the doctor shouldn't collect the deductible before you're seen, you know, at the time of your visit. Who are you to tell me, as an insurance company, what the policy of my office should be? So I'm supposed to wait for they only have a deductible, right? That's all they're going to be paying, and you're supposed to wait to bill the insurance, wait 6 to 8 weeks to get the money that doesn't even make sense. But patients have said that to us, that my insurance company said, like, I don't care. So they're a big problem. They're not being held responsible either for promoting this dissatisfaction.
Yeah, I think that, to be honest, there should be online reviews of the insurance companies.
Oh, I love that.
You know, go directly, because a lot of these problems that people are complaining about, like we talked about, is a lot of it is stuff that is not under our control.
Exactly.
So review the insurance company. Tell them how they feel. I would love that. Mm-hmm. I think most physicians would love that if patients directed their anger at the right source versus going to the one that they see face-to-face. And that's the problem, is that as the physician, we are the face of, unfortunately, we represent the insurance companies, and mm-hmm. they direct it as if we are the ones, you know, setting out these policies, and we're not.
Nope. On that note, let's take a break. You're listening to Medicine on Call.
This is Dr. George from Medicine on Call. Healthcare reform is confusing, but one thing's become obvious. Whether it's finding an affordable insurance plan, keeping your doctor, or being able to afford needed prescriptions, navigating the healthcare system has become a challenge. With the loss of the Obamacare mandate, those needing help can now choose an affordable alternative. By joining Liberty HealthShare, you'll become part of a community of health-conscious Americans all over the country who want to control their own healthcare costs and choices. Liberty HealthShare is not insurance. It's an association of self-pay patients who unite with like-minded people to share their medical needs. Neighbor helping neighbor. Medical, surgical, and some alternative holistic treatments are covered without restrictive doctor and hospital panels. Plans start as low as $107 a month for an individual and $345 a month for a family. Healthcare without the hassle. What a simple concept. Learn more now by going to libertyoncall.org or call 1-800-714-6993.
This is Dr. Susan Blank, host of Detailing Addiction and medical director of the Atlanta Healing Center. Please join me on Tuesday afternoons at 4 p.m.
This is Dr. Elena George from Medicine on Call. When I wrote my book, Big Medicine, I wanted readers to learn both how the healthcare system works and how to navigate the system to make it work for them. A supplemental policy from Aflac is a little known but effective strategy to help cover costs of routine medical and dental care and catastrophic care such as cancer, kidney disease, heart attacks, and stroke. Imagine buying a policy that will pay you if you are diagnosed with a catastrophic medical condition or you need emergency care, no questions asked. Whether you're a small business owner who wants to cover your employees or you have a high deductible plan, buying supplemental policy provides coverage you can actually count on to be there when you need it. It also covers preventative care such as mammograms. Imagine being paid to stay healthy. It's a no-brainer. Learn more by texting Paid to Be Healthy to 36260 or go to www.aflac.com/Stephen_money.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back to Medicine on Call. I think we've covered a lot of topics that most patients don't even, doctors even, don't even think about. And before the break, you made a really, I think, a very intelligent and true statement about us as physicians, we physicians, being the face of the healthcare system. We only account for 7 cents of the healthcare dollar. The rest of the patient's money is being spent on everything else, administration, insurance, pharma, etc. And they never get pissed at them. I don't see patients going totally crazy on pharmaceutical websites asking why X, Y, and Z drug is 1,000 times more than it should be and asking for an investigation. But because you waited 20 minutes instead of 5, you're pissed at your physician. It's misplaced. Part of it, I think, would be educating the patient, what we just described. I mean, I have the time, and I spend the time, to educate my patients about their insurance policies, because I don't want to hear it. I don't want to have to fight for the money after the fact. I don't want them to stiff me, and it does happen. You know, the things that if you're up front, and I want to take care of you, we have to take care of the business transaction on this end, and then we can both, you know, leave that out and then do what we need to do. Is that an attitude that you guys have in your office? How do you approach the, you know, insurance model with patients?
Yes, I think the more you educate your patient about the possible costs and, you know, that as much as you can in a simple term, mm-hmm. I think that can help people understand that it isn't the physician's fault that that things aren't covered or that there is a, you know, prior authorization or that the medication may be not covered. I think the more upfront you are, I think that is really important.
I agree. And enlisting the patient as your advocate and your ally. As we said at the beginning or during the show, the insurance companies don't care what the doctor has to say. Us calling them and asking for clarification, et cetera, it's irrelevant. It goes in one ear and out the other. But when a patient, the person paying the policy, makes the call, and, you know, we've had to do three-way calls with the patient and the insurance company so that everybody's on board. They can't be used, you know, they can't pit the patient against us. Those three-way calls are very effective in getting the patient, enlisting them as your ally, having them hear what the insurance companies are saying and fixing it up front instead of the he said, she said, you know, phone tree that I'm sure you've probably been in for hours on end. You know, that can all be negated. I think we just need to have the patients be full partners in the healthcare system.
I totally agree. I think that if there was more transparency and simplification of the whole insurance model, or even get rid of the insurance model if you can, it would get rid of a lot of the frustrations and the misunderstanding that happens. So we definitely need to have our patients direct the frustrations towards legislation to simplify and for transparency.
Transparency on the insurance company side. We're having an issue with an insurance company, and we found out we had to enlist a lawyer to help us with this, and we were told that there are two different policies. When you sign on as a provider to an insurance company, you get their handbook, etc. That is completely different from the patient and the handbook that they receive, and they're at odds with each other. So when we're talking about doing pre-certifications and going by the book of the insurance company, we're not doing anything. They can pull a rug, and they have the means to do it because the patient has a different the policy is implemented differently from the patient perspective. That is totally unbelievable. It's totally a duality that you can't win this game. You're lucky if you get paid in this type of system, frankly.
Definitely. And I think that's the thing that patients have no idea that, if they saw the amount of work that we have to do to get paid and get paid very little, I think it would be very eye-opening.
I think it would be, too.
And, we have, especially in private practice, you have a big overhead. So this is why sometimes we can only see patients every 5 or 10 minutes because we're not getting paid.
Well, think about the business model, right? The cost of doing business has continuously gone up. Malpractice, policy premiums, overhead for equipment, rent, paying employees, medical benefits for the employees, that's all gone up. But the reimbursement has steadily gone down. This is the only business model that I can think of. How do we stay open? You really think about how this works when you wait for 60 days, sometimes a year, to be paid, and you're being paid at a fraction. If you take Medicaid and Medicare, for example, what is that, 8 cents on the dollar from what you're charging? That's not compatible with staying open. And then you have all these things that you deal with. I think it's finally time that doctors actually stop hiding and making it look good and just putting our heads down and keeping it moving, and we start talking about what it really means to be a physician and how we're working against the odds in order to take care of our patients. We don't garner sympathy because we're seen as the problem, and we're not. We're actually the solution.
Yeah, I think the more patients are educated that, like you said, this is the worst business model out there.
It is.
This profession, like you said, I find it incredible. I think people don't realize that most professions, you increase your rate, you get paid more. There's, and this is the only profession where actually we have not gotten a raise for decades.
No. They'll give you a couple of doctors, professions that are making a lot of money because it's a cash-based side of it, plastic surgery, et cetera. But the average physician isn't, they're not meeting their mortgage. They've got a second job. They're working moonlighting. They're doing all sorts of things to keep the doors open. That's really the reality.
Yeah, and I think you made such an excellent point. I think that a lot of times, like I said, some physicians just want to ignore the reviews or ignore the problem. And that is really what we've been doing wrong, is that, we just keep working harder and trying to keep up with the system and comply and do everything we can, because, to be honest, a lot of physicians are that way. We just, keep moving, keep doing. Let me just do my job. And yet, I really do think it's important to wake up and take a stand and, and fight back and do something about it and have a voice at the table when people are making these decisions without us.
I absolutely agree with that. The system can't run without us. They try to make it run. Artificial intelligence, physician extenders, allied healthcare professionals coming on the front line, but they're not us. You know, and that's what we need to make our voices heard about. You know, we've trained a specific way. It's unique to the healthcare system. All these Wall Street types and all these startups that are glomming on to our expertise, we need to pull our, you know, take back our consent for this. They're not physicians. We have all sorts of fake doctors practicing at this point, whether they be from the insurance market or from business trying to open up boutique this and, you know, managing medical practices, but they're not the answer. And so I withdraw my consent, and I'm sure, I would assume, what's your take on that in the last couple minutes that we have?
What my take on what?
On us taking our power back. And
yes, I definitely think that that is something that we need to do. People come from all over the world to seek our health care, our expertise. We have the most research and development. We have the best trained physicians in the whole world. And we are not replaceable. And I would hate for our country to not become the primary source of the best healthcare out there in the world. And so I think that it would be a shame for patients not to have the best healthcare. And so the only way it can be back to the best healthcare is that, you know, physicians along with their patients stand up and tell people that that's what they want. They want things to get back to the way it was, where it was about the physician and the patient.
Agreed. In the second that we have, how can people reach you if they want to come to your practice in California?
So, you know, obviously you could Google me, you know, Marie Jin, the dermatologist in the Silicon Valley area. So very easy. You know, the online is good and bad.
I know.
It's a good way to get, you know, find people. So definitely I can be reached that way.
Thank you so much for joining me. I really appreciated your time. I hope you have a blessed day.
Thank you so much. You too.
Thank you for listening to Medicine.